Fairhaven, how are you? It's so good to be with you here today. I cannot wait because next week, you've already heard the announcements that we are going to be in person. We're going to have communion together on all of our campuses at 10:30. We hope that you'll join us. We will be safe and we'll practice social distancing. We'd love to have you to come. However, if you're unavailable or it's just too soon for you, it's okay. We're going to be coming to you online as we always have over the last number of years as we have been able to utilize and leverage media. And so we're so glad that you're with us. I want to welcome our Springboro campus and our Northmont campus, our Beaver Creek campus, our Centerville campus, and I want to welcome all of you that are around the country and around the world that are joining us. We're so honored that you would find your way here at Fairhaven Church. And so thank you for being here with us today. I don't know about you, but I have a few pet peeves. And if you're in the chat section or if you're with a group of people, you may want to just quickly just kind of mention it out loud. What are your pet peeves? I've got a few of them, and I'm sure you do as well. Let me give you a couple of them. I've got a pet peeve that when I'm driving down the road and somebody's coming, you know, toward me at night and they have their high beam lights on. For some odd reason, that is a pet peeve of mine. And it's ever since I was in high school, I had a friend who it was his pet peeve, and he decided that he should put airplane lights in the front of his grill, and so that when somebody would come, he would actually turn them on and just it would flood the whole world almost. And so that's a pet peeve that I have. I'll give you another one. I have a pet peeve of when we go and get carryout food, whether it's fast food or if it's Asian food or American food or whatever it is. We have lots of restaurants we love and we love different foods. A pet peeve of mine is when you make an order and you go and pick it up, it's in a bag, and you're excited, the smells, the aroma. You get in the car, and you almost can't even help yourself. You want to start eating. You get home, and you unpack it, and they got the order wrong. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure that it probably has happened to you. It's a pet peeve of mine. Here's another pet peeve of mine. I'm wearing a mask these days. And every once in a while, I wear glasses. And when I'm wearing glasses and I'm wearing my mask, my glasses fog up. And so it's hard to know, do I take my glasses off? Do I drop my mask? I have a pet peeve when I'm wearing my mask that my glasses get fogged up. And maybe you do too if you're somebody that wears glasses. And so you probably have some pet peeves as well. You know, I wonder if David in his own life thousands of years ago was searching through his own life and heart and all the things that he was dealing with. And no doubt he had some pet peeves because we're all human. And David says this in Psalm 139, which is the verse that is helping us launch this series that we're calling Gut Check. And David says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Help me to understand who I am. God, tell me what you see in me so that I can take a personal inventory, that I can look at the dashboard of my own spiritual life and take a gut check about where I'm at and what you see in me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way that's right. Help me with the inside so that I'm driven to live by the inside out," because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that Jesus changes us from the inside out, that we might live rightly and godly in a world that seems to be so filled with chaos. Last week, I gave you the definition of what a gut check is. If you weren't with us last week, here's what a gut check is. A gut check is when you take a pause, when you pause to assess the state or the progress or the condition of something. And so what we're doing in this series is we're thinking about our personal spiritual lives and we're asking God to search us and to look inside. We're pausing and making an assessment about certain things in our spiritual life. Last week, we started the series by saying, you know, we ought to have a gut check about our walk with Jesus. And we talked about abiding and the importance of that. If you missed that, go back and watch that because you'll catch up with us as we're going through this series today. We said this as we began the series last week, and that's this, that we won't imitate God, you won't imitate God, If you really have a desire to love God, and if you really have a desire to understand God, I will not imitate God if we don't regularly pause, if we don't regularly stop and ask him what he sees in us. You know, the reality is we do this in a lot of areas of our life. I mean, we do it with our automobiles. We take them in for oil checks and we check our engines, and sometimes we wait for the light to come on and then we have those checks. We do it with our health. We often will go to a doctor and do a physical and we'll check up on things. We often do that with our kids. We'll go to teacher-parent meetings because we're checking in to see how our kids are doing. There's all kinds of ways in our life. So why not do this in our spiritual life? So we started this series called Gut Check, because we want to take that assessment of our own lives, where we are in our spiritual life. You know what's fairly interesting to me? Because we don't often associate these two things together when it comes to our spiritual life. When we talk about our spiritual life, we often don't associate our emotional intelligence. And what I would like to do with you today is to think through the idea of how you and I, as we ask God to search our hearts, can be spiritually very intelligent with our emotions. That we can have spiritual, emotional intelligence. In fact, this week, we're calling this this message a gut check on my emotional intelligence. I'm inviting you to join me in taking a gut check on your emotional intelligence. I don't think we need to talk that much about it, because the reality is, when it comes to emotions, there is no shortage of emotions today. Would you agree with that? If you do, just right over there in the comment section, just say, yeah, I see it. There's no shortage of emotions today. I mean, there's emotions with regard to relationships. There's emotions with regard to politics. There's emotions with regard to current events. There's emotions around COVID, what you can't do, what you can do, and where you can go, and where you can't go. The way you travel might be different. There's emotions around social media. As you post something on social media, somebody reacts to it, and you end up reacting to the person who reacted to your social media, and there's emotions that come up. And even in social media, we have lots of ways that we can show our emotions, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. There's emotions around aging. You know, we think when we're 18 that 20 or 30 is really old, and then we get to 30 and we think of 50 is old, and we get to 50 and we think 80 is old, and there's emotions around all of these age seasons of our life. There's emotions around emotions. We even have emotions about the emotions that we have. Does the Bible have anything at all to say about emotional intelligence? I think you'll agree with me that when we turn in our Bibles in the New Testament in just a little bit, I think you'll agree with me that it does. In fact, there's a whole section of emotions. It's called the Psalms. I remember when my wife and I, when we were really struggling dealing with the illness of one of our sons, and I've talked a lot about that. If you're relatively new to Fairhaven Church, you probably don't know, but we struggled years and years and years ago, and the residual is still an emotional thing for us. And I remember both my wife and I spending hours and hours throughout the week in the Psalms, because we resonated with the emotions that were coming out of the psalmist. Sometimes emotions of sadness and sorrow and confusion. Sometimes the emotions of delight and emotions of victory and the emotions of great joy. You see, the Bible is filled, it's replete with emotions. And so I want to talk with you today about our emotions. I said last week that I would give you a little bit of research about emotions. I gave you a little bit of them last week. Let me go a little bit further when it comes to emotions and some of the things that are taking place because of the season we find ourselves in with regard to this virus. Did you know that 1 out of 5 Americans say that they actually have a physical reaction to the word COVID? So if I mention COVID and I just say that word COVID, according to the research, 1 out of 5 of you have had a physical reaction on the inside. there's some emotion that may jar you. There might be fear, or there might be a thought that comes to your mind. 1 in 5 Americans say that they have a physical reaction to the thought of COVID. 18% of Americans admit that they are very nervous and extremely anxious most of the time in the course of a week. 18% of Americans. So as you're walking around at work, or if you're walking around in your neighborhood or whatever it is that you're able to do, you might want to begin thinking that there's people all around me that are filled with panic and filled with anxiety. Last week I said that 51% of Americans are experiencing some kind of emotional distress that creates anxiety and sleeplessness and depression and loneliness and faster heart rates. I said last week that 42% of parents are experiencing psychological distress because of the weight of their kids, and 24/7, and there's no white space in their life, and there's concerns about school, and there's concerns about friends and all those things. But you know, it's not all bad. Believe it or not, there's also some research that's saying that people are turning the corner when it comes to their emotions. There was a study done at Stanford University, and this is one of the doctors, and this was his quote, where he says, it's not all that bad. He says this, quote, many people will feel very isolated, both physically and psychologically, but others may actually feel more connected to their households, to their neighborhoods, and or social networks. The doctor goes on to say that some people are reporting that they are feeling more connected to others than they typically do because COVID has closed down so many things that you're almost forced into relationships. And some people are saying there's some good emotions to that. I'm spending more time with my kids. I'm spending more time with my spouse. I'm spending more time with that significant friend of mine that really understands who I am. It's not all bad. So I was doing some research. I was really, really, really engaged with a principle that was just simply jumping off the page at me. That when I looked at the research and I looked at the Bible and I looked at both of them and I thought to myself, how does the Bible speak into this research of all the things that are taking place? And here's a principle that I hope you'll jot down, because this is very important to the beginning of our conversation of emotional intelligence. And that's this, that emotions are a gauge, but not a guide. See, emotions ought to be a gauge in our life, that when you turn your car on, the gauges illuminate and you can begin to see the status of your engine. And so that's the same thing with our emotions, that our emotions can be a gauge of what's going on in our life. That if you're experiencing anger, if you're experiencing sadness, or if you're experiencing great joy in your life, it can be a status point for you. See, it's a gauge of your life, but it cannot be and should not be a guide for your life. It's no wonder that Paul says in Scripture that you and I are to be transformed by the renewing of our, anybody know? Write it there in the chat section if you know. Yeah, you got it. By the renewing of our mind. It's not the renewing of our emotions. Now, there is something that we need to do with our emotions, but emotions for us are simply a gauge. And the question is, does God have anything to say about the distance between what this gauge tells us and what we do with our emotions? Because our emotions can't be a guide. That's why sometimes we snap and say things we shouldn't say. That's why we do things that we shouldn't do. That's why we behave wrongly sometimes on the highway. That's why we get into a store and we simply have a meltdown because of something that took place or something that goes on in our life. Emotions are a gauge, but they're not a guide. In my research, I was really fascinated to see this, because in my research, I discovered that psychologists will tell us that in life, there's an equilibrium. And as you live your life, there are times when you find yourself at an equilibrium, meaning that life is going along pretty well. It's going along just the way you might have expected it, or it might be going better than you expected it. They call it equilibrium. It's a line. It's not really a straight line, but nonetheless, you get the idea. And what the psychologist was saying as I was doing some research is this, that when a situation hits us, particularly when it's negative, all of a sudden our emotions go into warning. Where emotionally we have feelings, and sometimes we don't even talk about them. Sometimes we don't even know how to process them. And the feelings begin to impact our lives. You begin to act or you begin to behave in ways because your emotions are impacting you and me because of some situation negatively, typically, that's taking place in your life. And then you get to a place that they call the honeymoon where you sort of begin to feel like you're getting on top of it. And you feel like, okay, I think I can get through this. I think it's going to be okay. And you begin to perhaps work through your emotions. But then as it continues on, your emotions begin to drop again. And they come down past equilibrium. And they get to a place where there's actually emotional distress. Now, if you just look at this right here, it's already distressful to me that you can have an impact and a warning and a honeymoon. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in emotional distress. And the psychologist went on to say, as I was doing some research, that this emotional distress over a period of time, that it can happen where you begin to emotionally get through it and you get to the place where they call it adaptation, where you begin to adapt your emotions to a situation and you come back to equilibrium. In other words, let me put it in layman's terms because I need that. In other words, we go through emotional ups and downs. How many of you already knew that, right? And it's really interesting to see words around it, and we begin to actually feel that there's emotional ups and downs. Emotions are so very powerful, so powerful in our lives that as we think through this today, I want to add to our principle that emotions are a gauge, not a guide to us. I want to make sure that it's very clear what God sees in our emotions. You see, emotions are a gift from God. God has created us and he's wired us with emotions in life. He gives us emotions. It's a gift from God. As a skilled artist with color and creativity and poetry, your emotions are part of the color of life. Your emotions are part of the creativity that makes life interesting, where there are times where you can experience great joy. And there are times when you can experience sadness because of something that's very real, and yet you don't live there. It's filled with creativity and filled with poetry. Again, that's why when you read the Psalms, there's all kinds of poetry around the language of the emotions that are there. Where would we turn in Scripture if we were going to find some advice about emotional intelligence, spiritual emotional intelligence? Well, I want to encourage you to take your Bibles if they're out, and if they're not, I'd really encourage you to power up and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's in the New Testament, 1 Peter. It's written by Peter, obviously, and Peter in this is talking about a lot of different things, but the reality is emotions are found in the conversation that's here. You see, we have the emotional capacity that includes the ability to internally experience and respond to positive and negative emotions. And Peter knows that because he had that in his own life. As a matter of fact, I could show you that Peter himself would say that emotions are a gift from God, because he's a skilled artist. And Peter himself has to speak to our emotions. And as I read it in a completely different way. As we're thinking about emotions, it's absolutely amazing. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter gives us great advice of how to have spiritual, emotional intelligence. So as your Bibles are open, I'm going to read it for you as we go along. I'm not going to read the whole passage. What I want to do is just take it and unpack it with you as we go along. Let's start with verse 6. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. He says this: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting your anxieties on him." How many would agree with me that part of our anxieties is emotional? And I think that Peter, while this passage is not directly about emotions. It certainly includes emotions. And Peter, I think, is giving us some great advice on emotional intelligence. So he says here that if you humble yourself, meaning that if you recognize that these emotions that are in your life, that you want to include God in them, that if you're going to take a gut check about your emotions, that you come and pause and you offer to God and say, God, I need you to help me with these emotions. I need you to help me to understand them. And so you humbly come before God and his mighty hand, and you cast all your anxieties on him. We learn our first piece of advice, if you want to jot this down, and that's this. That for us to experience spiritual, emotional intelligence, here's what we need to do. We need to identify your emotions. So you can't cast your anxieties on God. You can't cast your emotions from your anxieties on God without identifying what your emotions are. In fact, that's why the psalmist is so powerful, because he identifies his emotions. He identifies the very emotions that he's struggling with or that he's excited about, and he mentions them through poetry and gives them to God. See, in today's world, I mean, we don't have to go very far to identify our emotions. Matter of fact, if you have a cell phone, a smartphone, you know that many times through social media, you can use emojis. And emojis are simply identifying the emotion that you feel towards something that might be said in social media. And so you have things like somebody laughing, or somebody just filled with laughter in their life. Or you can have somebody saying, I celebrate that, or I just want to clap for you in that. Or well done, I'm really proud of you. There's so many things that could be found in this emoji. And then you have the angry emoji, or you have the person pouting where something was said and they send back an emoji where I'm pouting over what you said, or I didn't like what you said, or it hurt me what you said, or I'm angry at what you said, and there's so much that's there. And then you have this one here, which is kind of an anxious one, or boy, I didn't see that coming, or really, did you mean that? And there's so much that's there with this wide open one. And then we have this one here at the end. There's a cat with hearts as eyes, and I have no idea what that one is. I just happened to see that one there and thought I'd put it there. And so maybe some of you know it. You can put it in the chat and help me understand what that is. But there's lots of ways that we can identify our emotion. And I think Peter is telling us here that if we're going to relieve our emotional pain, we need to cast it on him. We need to be willing to identify our emotions and cast it on him. I wonder, church, I wonder if Peter, who's well in age, is thinking back and remembers what Jesus said. And Matthew actually quotes it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is speaking and he says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Would you agree with me that part of being heavy laden is emotions that are causing us on the inside to experience turmoil and confusion? Isn't that part of being heavy laden? It's not just about being tired and overworked and burdened. It's, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what does it say, church? Say it out loud wherever you're at, right to the screen, just say it out, and I will give you what? That's right, church, rest. What does rest mean here? See, I think rest means that God will give us relief from the emotional weight and the emotional pain. Don't miss this. That God will actually give us relief, that when we cast our cares, when we cast our emotions on him, because God can handle it. He created us. Emotions are a gift from God, a skilled artist. You see, we want to cast our emotions on him. I wonder if Peter had in his mind the idea of actually casting a net. As I was looking in the original language, the Greek, it dawned on me that as I was looking at the word cast there, that it actually means to throw it. It's not like you come gently and slip it and said, would you mind taking this? Or it's not like you put it slightly in a mailbox and walk away and hope that God takes it. The image that Peter has here is that you need to throw it on God. It's like casting your net In our house, the image would be of our sons when they were, you know, in middle school and high school, where they would take their laundry and they would throw it in the laundry room, or they would throw it downstairs because the laundry room was downstairs, and they would just throw it down the stairs hoping that it would pile up, and then sometime they would go down and get it. That's the image that I have in my mind. And Peter says, cast your cares on him. You know why? Because God wants to relieve us and to help us with emotional intelligence. That's good advice. Peter goes on. Let's take a look. Verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that there, at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting your anxieties on him. Here's why. Peter tells us why. Because he cares for you. Church, I really need you to think for a minute here with me. Did you know that our beliefs about God is what motivates our godly responses? You see, when you believe the right things about God, it will motivate you in your responses. I think Peter is saying this. Secondly, if you want to jot this down as advice for us in spiritual, emotional intelligence, that we need to allow God to determine our responses. Your response, my response. The Peter is saying here that because of what God wants to do and because God cares for you, we can with confidence come and cast our cares on him because he wants to make sure that he can help us in determining our response. So that when you get angry, you don't have to punch a hole in the wall. So that when you're sad, you don't have to ignore the people around you. When you have these emotions and the response is negative and not positive, you see, we can allow God to determine our response. That's amazing to me. And sometimes it happens, church, in a split second. Because God cares for us, we allow God to measure the response of the emotions in our lives. Man, that's a sermon all on its own. That I think back of this week, think back this week in your life, where there are different emotions that you felt and the responses that come out of those emotions sometimes are not positive. And yet, Peter gives us some advice. He says, identify your emotions and then allow God to determine your responses. Picture this. This is really incredible. If you picture this, if you have a negative situation in your life, pick anything that's negative in your life. It can be as small as you lose your keys or whatever it might be. Negative situation, but you add godly belief. It's negative, but you add godly belief. Let's tease it out a little bit. We have COVID. How many of you would agree it's a negative situation? If you take COVID and you add that God cares for us, you know what happens? We have legitimate emotions. We have emotions that look like this. We can experience pain and sorrow and sadness, but they don't consume us because of godly belief. What about something else? What about if there's a negative situation, but you add ungodly belief, where you're not sure that God cares, where you're not sure that God is involved, where you're not sure that God is going to help you in it. So you take a negative situation and you add ungodly belief, and what you have is illegitimate emotions or bad emotions, if you will. And let me describe a couple of those. It might be hatred or anger or despair or manipulating or blaming or giving up. You see where we're going here, church? Emotional intelligence is so important for us as followers because God cares for us. Let's flip the coin. Let's flip it and look at this. What about a positive situation? When great things happen in your life, a positive situation plus godly belief, knowing that God cares for you, and this positive situation is because you got a God that loves you and cares for you and wants to do incredible things for you, that equals legitimate positive emotions. Let me describe them for you. See, a positive, legitimate emotion might be love, and a sense of joy, and a sense of gratitude, and a sense of peace, where your life is at peace. But on the other hand, You see, if there is a positive situation and you add an ungodly belief, where you have a great situation and you just forget God in the that's in the picture, and you just begin to ignore him and you begin to drift away from him because you got this, right? It's a positive situation. I got this. I'm not really sure that I need God involved right now. And so you begin to have ungodly beliefs, and what that equates to is illegitimate positive emotions. And let me describe those for you. It's emotions that are like pride, self-sufficiency, judgment for other people. See, emotions are inner responses that motivate outward actions. Sometimes they're wrong, and sometimes they're right. And that's exactly why we need to allow God to determine our response. You see, we make two mistakes often with our emotions. The two mistakes that we often make with our emotions is, number one, we try to suppress them. And so we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm gonna just try to make sure that nobody really knows that I'm sad. Or I'm gonna try to make sure that nobody knows that I'm really in despair. And so we suppress them. And it's like holding a ball underwater. And we get so tired that eventually that ball comes to the surface. Or another example might be that you hold your breath. In fact, you can even try that. Hold your breath for as long as you can. And I guarantee you, you can't do it more than 2 minutes before you just exhale and you're almost about ready to pass out. You see, if you suppress your emotions, that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to throw it on him, to identify them, cast them on him, allow him to help us with our responses. You see, that's suppressing our emotions are a mistake. Here's the second mistake that we make when it comes to our emotions, and that's that we often focus on the behavior. Now, watch this. You see, sometimes what we see in people is their behavior. And the behavior oftentimes is because of an emotion. An emotion sometimes can create bad behaviors. And so what we do oftentimes with our kids and with our friends and even in church, a church community, here's what we do. We look for behavior modification. If we could just modify their behavior, then somehow we could get them to stop doing that. But when I read here in 1 Peter chapter 5, I read something completely different. Here's what he said. Jump down to verse 8. Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Wow. In other words, here's the piece of advice that Peter's giving us, that we need to be prepared ahead of time. That you see, we identify our emotions, we cast them onto God and allow him to give us good responses, and then we are prepared ahead of time. Be sober-minded, be watchful. He is telling us why this is so important in the next phrase, but let's land on this phrase for just a second. Let me ask you a question. Is there an emotion that you wrestle with? There's an emotion in your life that if I were to ask you, what's the emotion that you wrestle with the most in your life? I think most of us could probably point out one or two or three emotions that we might wrestle with, like anger, self-esteem, or pride, or jealousy, or greed, or sadness, or disgust, or fear, or awe, or confusion, or contempt, or disappointment, or distress, or fear, or interest, or sadness. That's just like 20 of them. Pick which one that you wrestle with the most in your life. What would it be like if you and I were so sober-minded because we identified that emotion and we cast it onto God, we threw it to him and said, God, I don't know how to handle this emotion. I need you to help me determine my reaction. And then you get prepared so that when you get angry, you're prepared. You walk away and you say, I'm gonna count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know. Or when you get sad, you say to yourself, this is not what God wants for me. I give him my sadness and I'm gonna go through life, whatever that emotion might be. You see, we need to be prepared and decide ahead of time. It's a decision that we make because we're sober-minded, meaning that we are prepared in advance, that when an emotion comes, we're like, there it is, and I've already taken care of that. I've offered it to God. I know the response he wants me to have. I'm prepared and ready to go. When that motion comes, we're prepared. And it's awesome. I don't think we're gonna be 100%, but it sure minimizes outbursts, doesn't it? Peter goes on, and he says this in verse 8, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." I think you know this, but let me tell you that when crisis looms in our lives, people hurt, and people are hurting. When crisis looms, the enemy is lurking, and the enemy wants to pound on us. That's why Peter gives us, I think, the fourth piece of advice, and that's this: Satan and sin are the beginning of places for emotions gone bad. That because you and I are born with a nature and an inclination towards sin, or that which disappoints God, that's where emotions will go bad. And the enemy knows that, and he lurks, and he wants to capitalize on that. And that's why, you know what I'm talking about, that when you have an emotion and there's a reaction, a negative reaction, and you walk away and you go, what just happened? How did that happen? And so you see, Satan and sin are the beginning of places for emotions that have gone bad. And so Peter is saying, be alert, because there is an enemy that is lurking and he wants to rob us. And it's interesting to me that Peter doesn't say run for your life. He doesn't say run. Here's what he says: resist it, push back, so that when you have an emotion and all of a sudden you can feel the emotion rising and you have a desire to do something that you don't want to do, you can push back and say, that's the enemy. Because a godly belief would be that God cares for me, he cares about my responses, and so I'm gonna throw my concerns and anxieties to him, and I've identified it's this, so powerful in our lives. And then the last thing, which I love about what Peter says, is in verse 9. He says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that you're the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. He goes on to say, and after you have suffered a little while the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Peter closes off his first letter, and it's a powerful ending where he helps us in dealing with spiritual, emotional intelligence. And he gives us the last thing, and that's this. And this is incredible if you think about it. We are followers who are in this together. Church, meaning that when your emotions go a distance in a way that you don't want it to, we're part of a community of grace, where we can come around each other and say, you know, I battle with anger too. I battle with self-esteem. I battle with sadness. I battle with despair. And in a context of a community, that's why a church community is so important, because we get to together recognize that these emotions are so important. They're given by God. And yet we have to respond properly. And so we end where we began, and that's this: emotions are a gauge, they're not a guide, because we can identify them, we can cast them to God because he cares. He will help us to determine the response, because we know the enemy and sin are the beginning of emotions that have gone bad, and we have a group of people that we can come to because they understand. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that amazing? Would you bow with me just now? And perhaps even now you're wrestling with some emotions in your own life. Call it by name and cast it, throw it to God right now. Father, I thank you that this simple, short passage has so much for us, so much for me. And I pray, Lord, that in this season where there is so much emotion around the current events that we see on the news, around all the political things that are taking place, around the issue of COVID and the issue of schools and our families and relationships and the pains of life, Father, we identify that these emotions are hard. Thank you that you give us the ability to cast them to you, that we might have right responses. And that as a community of faith, we can celebrate that we're all on this journey of spiritual, emotional intelligence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.